Good evening. We've got a great show tonight.
Always.
Well, oh, we always have a great show. We're almost starting on time, too, which is even better. But we've got Celia Siegel is our guest tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us from Minneapolis, we're going to talk about branding your voice. And we've got a couple of great questions from our audience.
Are they technical in nature?
They are technical
in
nature.
That's all I care about.
Yes. Some requests about some stuff.
They're huge.
Yes, but we're going to show you how we answer those questions and how we solve your problems. And we'll talk about branding. And hopefully everything will go just fabulous tonight.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back here on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Two men, twin sons from different mothers, with a passion for voiceover recording technology and the desire to make recording easy for voice actors everywhere. Together in one place, George Whittem, the home studio engineer to the stars, a Virginia Tech grad with an unmatched knowledge of all the latest gear and technology in voiceover today. Dan Leonard, the home studio master, a voiceover actor with over 30 years experience in broadcasting and recording, and a no-holds-barred, myth-busting attitude for teaching you how easy it is. Together, finally, to bring you all the latest technology. The superstars of voiceover today, and leading the discussion on how to make the most of your voiceover business. This is VoiceOver Body Shop.
VoiceOver Body Shop is brought to you by VoiceOverEssentials.com, home of Harlan Hogan's signature products, Antland Productions, where you can get a killer demo, Source Elements, makers of Source Connect, Source Connect Pro, and Source Connect Now, VO2GoGo.com and Rehearsal App, and VoiceOverExtra.com, your one stop for voiceover success. And by Edge Studio, find your voice.
And now, live from their super secret multimedia studio in Sherman Oaks, California, here are George Whittem and Dan Leonard.
And a good evening to you. I'm Dan Leonard.
And I'm George Whittem.
And this is VoiceOver
Body Shop.
Or VO.
BS.
Yes.
How did I beat you on that? Did I anticipate it?
You over-anticipated. You jumped the gun.
You know how conductors, when you see them do the down note and the orchestra is just a tad behind that, they just know exactly that.
Anyway. So like, why do they even need a conductor? Of course, if you watch Mozart in the Jungle, you understand completely
exactly.
Why.
I love that show.
It's a great show.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it. Anyway, our guest tonight, Celia Siegel, will be here from Minneapolis and, hopefully thawing out. we've got hopefully some tech news. We've got some great questions from our audience. And you can get your questions into us if you'd like. All you have to do is write to theguys@vobs.tv. And George and I will answer them.
Yep.
And we'll show you the magic voodoo that we do. Anyway, so anything interesting? Well, we had a fun weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Hopefully none of you saw the Facebook Live video we did
hopefully
from
none of
halftime. Now everybody's going to go to Facebook and see.
Well, you have to be my friend. It's on my private page.
Oh, okay.
I didn't share it publicly.
Oh, we still had over 317 views.
Unbelievable.
Yes, but we were all dancing at halftime to
the Lady Gaga
show.
Yes, we did.
And we're eating properly in the
Whole Life Challenge compliant Super Bowl. That's what we had.
And it was great. We had some chili and we had that chocolate you made.
Yes,
you have to share that recipe with me.
I will.
Anyway, so, and I built a fence all weekend and my
and
body.
And I built
is
an arc.
You built
because it rained really freaking hard again.
It sure did. Anyway, it's time for.
And now, the VoiceOver Extra, VOBS News, the latest and most comprehensive voiceover industry news, brought to you live.
Alrighty, here's the VoiceOver Extra VOBS news for February 7th. Vocal resonance. Now, as a voice actor, you're often matching the sound of your voice to the needs of the script or character. High pitch? Low pitch? Thin voice? Rich? and full. Now, there's a technique to all of this, of course. We could call it the vibe of your voice, but it's commonly just known as resonance. And what affects resonance? Airflow. Now, in a new two-part series on VoiceOver Extra, speech expert Dr. Ann Utterbeck explains that what causes this resonance and how we can alter it, for instance, for a voice acting role, or to change the sound of your general speaking voice. First, Ann explains the sound waves are audible because they cause vibrations in the air in everything they strike. We hear thunder because it makes our eardrums vibrate. These little molecules banging into each other, going down. And these vibrations determine the resonance of the sound we hear. As a side note, why do we think our recorded voice sounds different from what we hear in our heads? I ask that question all the time. Well, Anne says the reason is that when we hear voices in our head, we hear double resonance compared to what others hear. We hear vibrations from our nasal passages and the bones in our head. Fluid in our brain also plays a role. Contrast that to hearing a recorded voice where we hear the voice resonated only once. The article explains more. In part two of this series, Anne goes on to explain how to change a voice from sounding thin to sounding more rich and full. She notes that a thin voice is the result of less air flowing through the oral cavity. The more air that resonates, the richer and fuller the voice sounds. And this is controlled largely by placement of your tongue and jaw. The tongue raised high in the mouth typically causes a thin voice. Similarly, a jaw that is not fully open, especially in the back, results in less air for resonating in the resonating cavity. This article gives you exercises for changing the voice to a richer, fuller sound. But you can certainly see this info to get into voiceover character. All right. Check out Anne's advice plus hundreds more helpful articles at voiceoverextra.com, your daily resource for voiceover success. All righty.
Awesome.
What's going on in tech news this week as far as the voiceover world is concerned?
Well, most of the tech news really revolves around new stuff because when NAMM Show happens, everybody's releasing new gear.
Right.
So for lack of a better thing that's really directed specifically to you folks in the voiceover world, I will say that I'll call out one of the products that I saw at NAMM that I thought was particularly cool and not expensive. Because I saw a lot of stuff at NAMM that was really cool and way too expensive. So I thought one thing I saw that was cool and also affordable was for folks who you guys know how much we like the Yamaha AG03 mixer. You know, it's a really cool product. If you're looking for an alternative to that mixer that's a little bit more flexible, because the AG03, while I like it, and the 06, I like it, but it's a little bit too simplified. It has a little bit of a lack of some flexibility. It doesn't have the control over what's called an auxiliary send. So I found another mixer that's kind of taking that functionality and a Mackie mixer format, and they've made it into something a little bit more useful. And I think that's made by Allen & Heath, and it's called the ZI-10. They've had their Z USB mixers for quite some time now, but the ZI-10 is their reboot of that mixer, and it just has little features in it that make it just extra useful for voiceover. And that includes a flexible means of routing audio in and out of the USB function. One reason why I don't always like mixers with built-in USB is because they don't have a lot of flexibility in terms of where the audio comes into the mixer and how it goes back out again through that USB jack. You know, you need to, even though it's in the mixer, you don't want the mixer to tell you exactly how a signal gets to the USB jack.
Who cares?
So It matters a lot if you're using it for particular needs. Like if you want to send, make a Skype phone patch, for example, you want to be able to route a signal from your microphone through an auxiliary jack, which sends the signal out to Skype. You don't want it to send the audio from Skype looping back to itself on Skype, or you get Sometimes a looping echo.
Looping.
So to be able to just send only your microphone to Skype, for example, is a really nice feature that it can do. So they've taken basically what ostensibly is a feature from the much more expensive Allen & Heath XB10, which is the mixer we use in the studio. This is an $800 mixer. And they've taken that feature and they've added some of those features into a $200 mixer. And so for you can get a lot of the functions that we have for this show and the broadcast board we have for about $200. So again, if you want to have more than one mic, you want to dabble in podcasting, or if you want to have flexible foam patch routing for Skype and that kind of stuff, the ZI-10 might work out pretty cool for you.
Cool.
It also has the ability to record four inputs simultaneously.
If you happen to need that.
If you're doing production, maybe not just a dry voiceover, but if you're doing production, if you want to record two microphones in and a feed from somewhere else on four separate tracks, put that up there again.
Yeah, sure.
I forgot.
There it is.
There it is. If you want to record four separate microphones and have them all go to four separate tracks in your DAW, this little mixer can do it. And again, for the price, it's kind of a no-brainer. I love that they call it this. It's not the ZI-10. It's the ZI.
Or the Zadie.
Yeah. I think they went for the Jedi thing and they went with the ZI. Because it's Z as in zero.
Right.
The ZI-10. That's the effects model. This is the version that has built-in reverb and all that. But they make a non-reverb version of that one too. So anyway, that I think is one of the cool things I've seen. And I did cover that at NAMM. If you go to Widom's World on Facebook, facebook.com/Widom's World, or our YouTube channel at edgestudio.com. You can see all my coverage from NAMM, including a video on that product and a heck of a lot more. So that's what's new that's kind of interesting in my world.
Cool. All righty. Well, we've got Celia Siegel coming up in a little bit. Mm-hmm. A couple of questions from people that were sending in questions, and we're going to try and solve their problems or see if they have any problems at all.
If they don't have any, we'll make one for you.
That's right. We'll cause some sort of problems. You know, speaking of the mixer, I have my AG03 at my desk, and I use it for webcasting. And
how's it working out?
Works great for webcasting.
What's your, you've had it, 3 months or so?
Oh, I've had it for a year now.
Almost a year now. So what's your, now you've had it for, you know, like those long-term tests on Consumer Reports? What's your 1 year?
For doing webinars, it's fabulous because it allows me to loop back, and I'm able to play sounds like from a cart machine, for those of you who remember the radio days. It's kind of cool. It also has some effects on it.
Are you making use of those at all?
I'm going to. Yeah. Somebody said, hey, can I use the AG03 to match the sound, you know, because I'm going to be recording somewhere other than my studio, and I'm bringing it along as an extra rig. Yeah. Can I use the upfront compression and all those other things to try and make it sound? And I went, I can try.
If you're a skillful, you got to be a skillful engineer to pull that off. That is not easy.
Oh, well, you twist some knobs until it sounds right. Anyway, we got more coming up here on Voice Over Body Shop, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hiya, VO friends. You say you ain't booked a VO gig in 7 years, and your demo is so old that you can hear the clicks from the stock music records? And you hear so much tape hiss that you run to the sink to see if the faucet is running. And the engineer used so much echo on your voice that it sounds like it was recorded in the Grand Canyon. And the scripts seem a bit dated too, advertising the new and improved 1938 Plymouth Road King. Is that what's been troubling you, Bunky?
Your head up high and take a walk in the sun. Your demo can be killer too. Just contact Uncle Roy at atlandproductions.com and book yourself a shiny new killer demo. Show your stick-to-itiveness and show the world you'll never give up, never give up, never give up that dream.
Well, here's my opportunity to talk about Source Elements, the creators of Source Connect, and their amazing software that allows you to stream audio from your studio to another studio in real time. Sort of like ISDN. I think we have Sputnik flying in and out of the shot today. So what Source Connect is all about is if you're looking for that tool to replace ISDN or provide a backup to your ISDN system, Or if you want to be more connected to some of the top production and network studios in the world, chances are they're probably at this point using Source Connect. It is a standard now. One of the new features they've added is Source Connect 3.9, in Source Connect 3.9 is this ability to use a thing called Source Stream. And what that does is if you're on a wonky network, if you're at a hotel, you're somewhere where you don't have control over the network, Source Stream allows your connection to go through when other times it would not work. It's a really cool thing. It's on the back end. It's something that's invisible to you, and it just works. It's really, really, really cool. So if you and your other users are on version 3.9 or newer, this function is available to you. Source Connect Standard also has a few bells and whistles that were only available in Pro before, like the ability to set inputs and outputs and control latency all within the software. Very, very cool. Go give it a try over at source-elements.com and get a 15-day free trial without the need of a physical iLock dongle. All you have to do is have an iLock account to do it. So you're ready to rock. Go give it a try. And thank you, Source Elements. We'll be right back with some questions.
Wow. This is VOBS? Yep, this is VOBS. Proven anybody can have a show these days.
Learn the latest in voiceover technology, business, and good old-fashioned acting.
I really like your bracelet. It's awesome.
Hey, Paul, where did you get that watch?
That's really cool.
And a hamburger with no cheese, please.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, only on voiceoverbodyshop.com.
All right, you know, we're using a green screen now.
Yes, we are. If you pat, yeah, there's the shadow. Do that again.
See, it's
there's
actually
the green.
It's green. We used to have a blue screen, and unfortunately, last week Christine Aller disappeared. We're still looking for her. She's out there somewhere.
The blue screen became cumbersome after a while. Nobody could wear blue, but apparently, blue is less common or more common color people like to wear.
Right.
To Kelly Green.
Right. So now I can wear blue.
Yay!
Got like a number of blue Hawaiian shirts. This one's a little extreme, though. I
mean, it's a challenge getting chroma key quite right. This doesn't look so blue. It looks more black on camera,
doesn't
it?
It does. Yeah, blue tends to look kind of black on camera.
Yeah, it's a challenge getting the color balance right. We're still figuring it out, but
yeah,
we're having fun with it.
That's right, and that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of having fun,
yeah.
Steve Tardio wrote to us.
When I think of Steven Tardio, I think of fun. It's his voice. It's his delivery.
Okay.
Steve just is like he's a fun person. I think you're a fun person, Steve. Are you a fun person in real life? I've met him. He is pretty fun.
Yeah, but he's cool. I've met him too. And he plays guitar real well too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, he got himself a new microphone.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent us a sample and says, what do you guys think?
That's what we know,
attitude on this sort of thing. So let's play Steve's thing and let's listen and see what you think.
All right. Listen.
Hey guys, it's Steve Tardio here testing out my new blue baby bottle microphone, SL, and comparing it to the Sennheiser 416 that I have. So we're starting off with the blue baby bottle microphone. Here we go. I'm proper distance from the mic. Everything's flat. There's no EQ. So here we go. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's a couple lines of copy from an audition. Oh dear. But not to fear, the echoes have made just the thing. Not to worry, not to worry. So what's your name, little friend? Okay, now we're going to switch over to the Sennheiser 416. Here we go. Okay, we're now on the Sennheiser 416 shotgun microphone. Again, proper distance from the mic, no EQ, everything's flat. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh dear, but not to fear, the echoes have made just the thing. Not to worry, not to worry. So what's your name, little friend? I'm minus 5 dB down on my mixing board too, and I'm going through a Gracie 101 preamp, if that helps. Thanks guys, bye.
Well... I'll express my opinion and you can just beat me up or whatever. I can't hear the difference. But then again, I'm old and my ears don't work anymore and I don't wear the headphones. But
you're listening on the speakers across the room.
I'm listening on a pair of really nice Bose speakers on the other side of the room mm-hmm. with the full resonance of my studio here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got a fun voice.
They both sound good. The bottom line is they both sound good.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, it's not the mic.
Yeah, they both sound good. They're both placed correctly. The room is tuned acoustically correct. So the difference between those two is like pink and mauve. Think of two colors that are very close to each other. They're very similar.
Right. So who's going to tell the difference, and what difference does that make for one's voice? Now, for example, he bought a Blue Baby bottle, mm-hmm. which is this mic here, mm-hmm. which our good friend Cliff Zellman said, "Dan, you sound great on that."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, fine.
Well, remember that video we did for Whittam's World where we shot out a whole bunch of mics? And
right.
Yeah. If you look at the comments on that, almost every single mic in that shootout at some point or another, somebody said, "That's my favorite," right? Almost every one of them.
It's a mic, as far as I'm concerned, it's not the mic. I mean, although I did make some adjustments with this week.
What'd you do?
I changed the resistance. I had it set too low, or too high, actually.
Where?
On my Personas.
Oh, because you have a Personas with adjustable impedance.
I can adjust the impedance.
Oh, yeah.
And then I put it up, and I'm like, oh, now it sounds really good.
Did it sound a little too dark or warm or bottom heavy?
No, it seemed to be a little thin.
Oh, okay.
I'm thinking, what was Cliff talking about if it was sounding thin? Put the proper 50 ohms on it. Now it sounded great.
Most people don't have that ability.
I do.
Most people have that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it, it sounds okay. It sounds, but I can't tell the difference between that, and say the VO1A there.
Yeah, there's not a humongous difference between those two. If you guys go online and do the $500 mic shootout, you'll find the video where Dan shoots out all of these on Whittam's World. I'll tell you what I heard. They sounded very similar. When I closed my eyes and really listened, the 416 sounded a little bit slightly brighter and a little bit thinner. And the baby bottle sounded a little bit more rich, just a mm-hmm. little bit more full and warm. I'll use the word warm.
Warm.
And not quite as bright. So if you had both mics to your disposal and you want to know when to use what, I would say use the... This kind of holds true for people that have a Neumann and a 416. They have both mics. Tend to use the large diaphragm condenser mic for the Oh, look at this camera.
Oh, okay.
That
one? Okay.
Yeah. I tend to recommend the large diaphragm mics for long form because it's a little bit less edgy and bright and a little bit more enjoyable to listen to for long form.
Mm-hmm.
And I would recommend that here. Of the two mics he recorded with, they both sound good, but I would say the Blue is a little bit less edgy. I wouldn't want to hear an audiobook recorded on a 416 all day long.
Mm.
And now I say that, and I went to a studio, a very well-known audiobook production studio here in LA, and what did they have in all their booths? 416s.
416.
So a lot of it is production.
Yep.
If you know how to EQ the 416 to notch out a little bit of the brightness or the little edginess and mm-hmm. just roll that out a little bit, presto, smooths it right out. You want to put back a little bit of the warmth, bump up a little bit at 100 hertz maybe and roll off the bottom end, boom, warmth.
It's like a little roller coaster of audio.
You can get these different sounds out of these different mics, a little bit of... experimenting.
Okay.
It works.
So, Steve, use whatever you like. Doesn't make a difference as far as I'm concerned. Next question is from the amazing Jack DeGolia, who is sitting there writing every word we say. But he had a question because you recommended a certain recorder to him.
Yeah. What was the question?
What do you think of it?
Oh. It's kind of rhetorical, right?
I recommend obvious, it. You must like it. We'll tell them what it is and what it does.
So the Tascam DR5 is a portable handheld recorder that has built-in microphones. So normally they're used to capture a live concert.
Is that the one that has the crossed microphones on top?
Yeah, it's a little handheld device with a little pair of mics stuck on top. So why did I recommend that to a voiceover person? The reason I recommend it is because Jack was having occasional digital clicks and pops in his recordings. And this is something that can plague anybody. Windows, Mac, USB audio, FireWire. I mean, it happens. And the problem is when these kind of clicks and pops happen, you don't know it happened until you hit stop.
Mm.
You don't know. You don't know until you sit down and edit the audio an hour or two later. And you may have spent 45 minutes recording a chapter of a book. And throughout that book are peppered little clicks and pops. And you're going to
drive you nuts.
Yeah, drive you nuts. So I recommended this to Jack because he had this problem enough times. It was random, but enough times that I recommended that he have a backup recording device. So I recommended the DR5. It's not expensive. They're available for under $100. And it's just a handheld standalone recorder with built-in flash memory or uses an SD card like a camera does. And we just run an analog audio cable out of his interface. In his case, it's a Shure X2U.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes from the headphone jack into the line-in of the DR5. It just has a mini cable in and out. That's it. And so when he sits down to record that audiobook chapter, he starts his DAW rolling. I think Twisted Wave in his case. Or actually, he's been using Ocean Audio, O-C-E-N Audio.
Because it just has to be different.
Well, you can do punch and roll with it, okay, which is kind of interesting. And then he hits record on the Tascam. Chances are he won't need the Tascam. It just does its thing. It just rolls while he records, captures the whole performance. But for that one time where things go wrong, he can grab that file off the device, plug it in with USB, transfer it in, and drop it into his software and recover what he was doing.
Makes complete sense.
Some people might say, well, why don't you just always record to the Tascam DR5 and forget the computer? Well, yeah, you can do that too. A lot of podcasters actually record to a dedicated recorder only because they find it to be more reliable. And I have to agree. Those little handheld recorders are really reliable because they have one job.
Right.
To record you.
Right.
And nothing else.
And no moving parts.
No moving
parts. It's all flash drive.
There's no multitasking processor, operating system. It's doing one job. So they are incredibly reliable. And for that reason, they're a great, great backup. And you can use it as your primary recorder. I wouldn't do everything that way. I'd find it really inconvenient having to every single time you're done recording, plug it into the computer, drag and drop the files in. You know, it slows you down. But for a backup, it works great.
Yeah. All right. Probably a problem with mechanical hard drives that he's probably having.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's on a MacBook Air, I believe. Hmm. I can't remember right now. But it doesn't seem to matter. these glitchy problems just seem to happen on so many different devices. Let's turn off your... Where's your mute switch?
Yeah. There it is.
I'll add that to the check.
The last one.
Add that to the checklist.
Mute everything.
We have too many
except
devices.
My phone.
Yeah, I will say one last little cliff note. He did have a problem where there was some whining, sort of humming, whining sound.
Right.
With a handheld recorder like that, you don't want to have it plugged into the computer you're recording with a USB cable, because that can create a ground loop thing. And that's exactly what happened to him.
Okay.
As soon as he unplugged the USB cable that's used for syncing it, the whine hum totally went away.
Outstanding.
So there you go. Watch out for that.
Yeah. So if you got a question for us and you want us to drone on endlessly about it, write to theguys@vobs.tv and you can get your question on the air.
Yes, sir.
Or wherever it is that we are. We can shove down this pipe called the internet. Anyway, Celia Siegel is our guest. She'll be with us right after this. So don't go anywhere. Just stay right there. It's Monday night. What else are you going to do?
Are you confused about how to set up and maintain a professional quality voiceover studio? No wonder. The information out there is mostly mythology. This is the best microphone to use. You have to have a preamp. You need a soundproof booth. This software is the best. Your audio must be broadcast quality. Consult with someone who knows the truth. Someone who's been there, in the trenches, doing voiceover for over 30 years. Someone with unparalleled experience with voiceover studios, who's worked with hundreds of voice actors and designed hundreds of personal studios. He knows how to teach and cares about your success in one of the harshest environments known to voiceover, your home. Dan Leonard, the Home Studio Master. Separate myth from fact and get a handle on your personal voiceover studio. Contact the Home Studio Master at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Drop off a specimen of your dry audio for a free analysis.
VOBS is still on?
Seriously?
All righty. Well, you know, one of our favorite people is David H. Lawrence the 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he has? He has a school online.
He does.
It's called VO2GoGo.com. VO2GoGo.com. And they have a brand new free class you can take right now that will help you create a more successful, satisfying, and profitable VO career. It's called the VO Booking Blueprint, and you can get it by going to VO2GoGo.com and clicking on the extraordinarily large red button that he has placed there at the top of the page. Now, David H. Lawrence the 17th is covering some very interesting course strategies to help you. If you're just getting started out on your VO journey, or if you're already on your way and you just want to make sure the treasure map is still valid, because it's a treasure. Look for the X. Anyway, it's the VO2GoGo VO Booking Blueprint, and it's free at VO2GoGo.com. But he also has more stuff, not just VO2GoGo.com. He also has Rehearsal app. Are you a Rehearsal Pro user? Are you? Well, the app for actors and VO talent is looking for users who'd like to participate in the beta testing of a new feature for the app, the ability to offer your services as a reader for other actors. The Rehearsal Reader community will roll out later this year, and we'd love to let you bang on it to make it spectacular, because banging on it will make it spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Or it'll bend it out of shape.
Technical.
Okay. Anyway, send email noting your interest to the one and only davidlawrence@gmail.com. And if you're not yet a Rehearsal Pro user, pop over to rehearsal.pro/download and get your copy today. That's rehearsal.pro/download. So be off book, book more work with Rehearsal Pro. All righty.
Excellent.
All right. Well, we have a guest.
Yay!
And let's talk about her, because she's an interesting lady. And Celia Siegel is the chief voice officer of Celia Siegel Management, known for creating strong personal brands for voiceover talent and marketing those brands to the max in a way that's authentic to each voice actor. She's also the author of the upcoming book, Voice Over Achiever: How to Cultivate Bravado, Swagger, and Confidence Through Personal Branding. And let's welcome to our show Celia Siegel. Good evening, my dear.
Well, hello, guys. How are you?
We're doing just great here. And what's the weather like in Minneapolis?
You know, I was just saying, spring is on the horizon. I mean, it's a bit chilly. It's in the 30s, so the end is near. So people are starting to really brighten up and look forward to springtime.
Yeah. Well, we're in Minneapolis last spring. Just a beautiful city.
It is.
Went to the Mall of the Americas and everything. It was a great time.
Oh, yeah.
That was lots of fun. So your area that you're really known for is voiceover branding. Now we hear a lot about branding, you know, in the world of commercials, it's clearly important to show your type. It makes it easier for producers to find out what they're looking for, right?
Yes.
All right. So how do you go about deciding what is a good brand for you? How do you differentiate yourself?
You know, the cool thing is we're all different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to change my view on this. I think I have. Oh, there we go. So we're all different people. Oh, no, I was on the right view. Sorry. So because we're all individual human beings, you don't have to do anything to find your brand, but really uncover who you are. So we are all unique, and it's just a matter of being bold enough to really express yourself, to stand out from the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you, I mean, because that's the most important thing. How do you differentiate yourself? Clearly, when you're doing an audition and you're doing what it is you do as a voice actor,
mm-hmm.
how do you find out what it is that's unique about you? Because, you know, a lot of producers are going to see screen, you listen to lots of auditions and they're going to, sounds the same. How do you make, it's not everybody sound may sound the same, but what is it that you do that makes you different? And how do you find that?
You've already grown the mustache, so
well, yeah,
that's taken.
That's true, but doesn't mean very little to voiceover. Unfortunately.
Well, so the thing is about that. So I always start with each individual person with a business plan. So really thinking about who your audience is. And then we have a huge, I have it here, that Sealy Siegel Management Brand Finder. And it's a bunch of questions that I have people go through, and they really do some soul searching, write a lot, talk to their peer group. And it's all about what makes you different. So I will just read a few of these, you know, and think about yourself through this, but it's, you know, the, what do we want to accomplish? So depending on what genres that you want to work in, you know where you're going. So we want to study what those people think is cool, and then show off who you are. For instance, a mom. So I work with a lot of women who come to me, and part of their brand is that they are a mom. And it's a matter of looking at the difference between different kinds of moms. You know, there's edgy moms, there's the classic moms, there's the moms that are going to be peddling yogurt in minivans versus the moms that are going to be selling something more edgy. So if you look at some of the brands that I've done, like Lisa Graham is a mom, and her website has a really edgy tone to it because that's her personality. That's what we're going to expect when she comes to the studio, whereby there might be a really sweet mom. So we're going to find a way to position the different kind of mom, even if your brand is a mom voice, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So what kind of questions do you ask yourself to determine those differentiations?
You know, I have a bunch, you know, because sometimes we're just really looking, my team and I, we're going to get this sort of positioning statement. And then the branding is, you know, writing and creating beyond that. So I'll just start with some of these.
Okay.
So if you could only audition for one style of copy, what would you want it to be? So that's going to say something about your brand and what kind of voice you have.
But the thing is that always necessarily right? There are things that we think we like to do, but are we necessarily good at them?
You know, so that's where the whole coaching piece comes in.
Okay.
Is you want to do animation, that's all you want to do. If that's the only thing you want to do in your career and you're not going to be satisfied till you get there, you know, then your business plan comes, and you do what you can do to get trained, and you position your brand to attract those buyers. So I do always start with that question, because part of what you put out there for your brand is to capture the kind of work you want to get. The next question that I always ask is, what would you like the producers to know about your style and you and who you are? What would you tell them if you could call up BBDO and ask them to listen to your demo and hear, you should know this about me, and I really want to voice this product. What would that thing be if you had a direct route to the person?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you write and write and write. I always tell people to carry a notebook. I even made Celia Siegel Management Brand Strategy notebooks that I like to give to my clients. And it really is just as simple as really capturing information. So being aware that branding is important, and it's this tool that if you get it done right, it's going to make everything else in your voiceover business better. Mm-hmm. Really believing that and going through the work to pull in. So what do you want to say to the producers? I talk about, is there anything about your image that feels off base currently? Because we want to identify that too. And your brand is telling a story. So if we want to get away from the story that you're telling right now and shift it, maybe you need a facelift. You mean you need a little image shift. We work on that when we're cultivating the brand. What colors, textures, moods, or metaphors come to mind about your voice? And that one I just use because sometimes really great words come up. that I can use about you. There might be something in there. And then I'll give two more because these are really big ones. But what do the producers say about you? Why do you get hired? What is said over and over again from your testimonials page? That is your brand. So it's people, it's what they're saying about you. So yeah, you just have to be aware of what other people are saying about you and your work. Okay, Dan, that was really great. I loved hiring you for X because you made the project so X. You know, and or do you see that all the time?
Right.
And that's part of your brand.
Right. So, but that requires you having to have been hopefully doing some work. Because if you're starting from scratch, you know, you've really got to find that. You've got to find your niche somewhere along the line there. And, you know, I remember when I started, it was like, well, what was I getting hired for? Exactly what you said. And it was for some other stuff other than commercials. So.
Right. No, absolutely. So the cool thing is that you are your product. So even if you've never worked and you know, you've got your great new demo, you've got your great studio set up, you still know what you're attracted to. So the real baseline pieces are, you know, if you can say, what brands am I attracted to? There's clues about your ideal self. You know, I like shopping at Nordstrom. So there might be something in there about you. Like for me personally, I always use the examples, and this one's such a cliche, but I like Apple. I like, you know, the tribe of Apple. I like the forward trend, the cleanness of it. I like their messaging. So that's appealing to me. I like Zappos shoes because I like their customer service, and that's appealing to me when I do my business. You know, so really look at what you're drawn to out in the world, and there are going to be brand clues about you, your brand, what you sound like. So that's one thing to start out when you're new, is what you're attracted to. And then brand your personality. You know, ask your friends, why do you hang out with me? Why did you invite me to your party? You know, it's still completely within you why you read a piece of copy differently than, you know, another guy in your category.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I think a lot of people who get into voiceover tend to think that they want to get into commercials, which of course is a little bit bigger than that part of the marketplace.
It's on a national scale.
Yeah, we're
that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, and the majority of work really is in a lot of other areas aside from commercials, like, you know, e-learning, audiobooks, explainer videos, medical narrations, and other web-based materials. How do you determine your brand for doing that? And is that something that perhaps producers are looking for? I mean, obviously, you look at the specs and stuff, and sometimes they all say the same thing. How do you differentiate yourself for something like that?
So I think once you nail the brand, you know, and if you go to my website and look at some of the brands we've worked on, and you know the actor whose brand it is, I mean, the really exciting thing, why I do this for a living, is you can match them up. So I should be able to put you in a lineup, play your demo, have your website above your head, and we should be able to say, you know, this is Dan's, this is Jody's, this is Frank's. We should be able to tell who's who from that. So that's your general brand. You know, and then we've got marketing, which is what we do with your brand. So when we're talking to people who do corporate industrials or explainers or e-learning, that's going to be definitely a different message than what we're going to send out as marketing material for commercial ad agencies. Tend to be more edgier, trendier, hipper, less of a straightforward message. Versus if you do promos, that marketing is going to look and feel a certain way. But it's still within your brand, about yourself. Does that help?
Should. I mean, it's the probably the biggest thing in our business is the ability to, again, differentiate yourself and have that brand. You know, in commercial world, obviously, it's very, very important because you're trying to sell a brand.
To a brand.
To a brand.
Right.
Right. So we just did a website that just launched last week for Andy Duncan, who's a fabulous actress in Canada. And her, she's funny. She's a blogger. She's a humorist. And her brand is Motherlode VO. And if you look at her website, you know, it's fun, it's funny, and it attracts you to a certain kind of mom. You know, so if you're a commercial producer and you want somebody who has a sense of humor, you want to show that in your brand, you know, versus like a more peaceful brand. So there's all these cues. It's the words you use. It's the way you write your bio should be branded. It should look like you sound. So that builds trust. But then if we were going to pitch her to, you know, 3M or General Mills, these Minnesota companies, to do their corporate in-house training, you know, for a corporate job, you know, I might leave that out and have a more straightforward message for her.
Okay, so see, we were just futzing around with the monitors here. Now I lost my whole train of thought.
What goes on behind the scenes?
Yeah, there's a lot going on with that. So once you have your brand, how do you use it? How does one exploit this brand to get more work?
So basically, it's going to dictate everything that you do. So once you have your brand, love your brand, you feel at home with it, and you're like, yeah, this is me. It creates this energy and this positivity of like, you're really proud to hand out your business card or send out that email. So your brand is layered over everything that you do as a voiceover actor. It's sort of your extra power play. And I tell people, of course, you have to be really great. You have to be really talented, well-trained. Your studio needs to sound great. Like all of those things, you cannot be successful without them. So when I start talking about branding, I always want to say, yeah, you can brand and market yourself to a certain amount of notoriety, but unless you've got all of those other really great solid foundations, you know, it's going to fizzle out. So when you've got the great foundation and the great voice and career and training, I just made the side note on there so long that I lost my question. Oh, what do you do with it?
It happens to all of us, and even to the best of us.
I know, I'm like, oh, make sure you're awesome. You really create your brand. You love it. Well, your website is built, and that's your home base for everything. That's your message center for everything. So first your brand, your languaging, your tagline, what you're saying about yourself, the visuals that back up your brand. That's your website. And it builds trust because you look like you sound. And then you have your collateral materials, like your business card is a really great opportunity to market yourself. So you get a box of 500 business cards, you hand them out, and they're branded, and it's a conversation piece, and it sends people to your branded website. You know, and then what's on your website? Well, we want them to listen to your demos. So even your demos, you should think about, well, what's my brand? Or when you go to audition, you know, what am I putting out there? What am I claiming is what I do better than anybody else in the entire world? You know, so that's your brand filter. You can create swag and things to hand out that are memorable and have something to do with your brand. And we can go crazy with that. And really, I have a lot of stories and situations where people have really engaged with advertising agencies and agents through their swag that really fits in seamlessly with their brand. And they've gotten great jobs. They've signed agents. You know, the list goes on and on. Mm-hmm. So really, you can use it to feel more self-expressed in your voiceover career. And it makes all kinds of stuff happen for you.
Yep. I have a lot of coffee mugs from a lot of different voice actors. Yes. It's like, thank you for adding to my, you know, to my, my dinnerware. You know, and pens and notepads, clickers, What other stuff have we gotten from voice actors?
We've given out magnifying lenses.
That was one of
them. Fresnel lens magnifiers.
Those were cool. You know, it's especially we drive the specialty advertising business. I used to think it was the insurance business. Now it's the voiceover business.
The voiceover business, you know, and it used to be considered tacky to hand stuff out. You know, and you want to make sure it's something nice, like something somebody is going to want. And if you can hit the nail on the head and send out something really cool that matches your brand, you know, or make somebody laugh or, you know, fill a need within your brand, you know, all the better. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, swag is a good way to connect and thank your clients for sure.
All right. Well, unless you're deaf and blind, you're watching VoiceOver Body Shop with Dan Leonard and George Whittam. Our guest is Celia Siegel right here. And we're talking about branding and your voiceover career. And let's switch gears here a little bit, Celia. Let's talk a little bit about how to manage your voiceover career. Because I know you started off as an agent, right?
I did. I was an agent. For about like 14 years, I think, including at CESD in Los Angeles and JE Talent in San Francisco. So that was my first career that I fell in love with. And then I left and started a management company to have more control and to bring in all of my favorite things, which includes the branding piece. I love business planning and business. So I have all of my people that I manage do a business plan and then figure out how to get everything done and reach all their goals on there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the management piece is pretty cool because I get to do all of the stuff your agent would do if only they had time. It's things that in my early agent career I did get to do with my clients, mm-hmm. just because it's different back then. I had like 15 clients at a time.
Right. Well, if you've got a question for Celia Siegel, there's a pile of people in the chat room tonight. And if you've got a question, throw it in there. And I know that Jack Daniel is in there monitoring the chat room tonight. So we'd like to get lots of questions for Celia about what we're talking about tonight. If you've got specific questions, because organizing our careers is really important. So, I mean, let me ask you this then. Let's talk about how you manage your career starting off is probably the hardest part. You know, I think just making the decision that you actually want to do this. When people come up to me, there's this old Jewish joke. It's like a rabbi is, if someone says, I want to convert to Judaism, the rabbi is, the rules are, the absolute law, you have to say three times, are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this?
I learned that on Sex in the City, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Are you sure you want to do this? Mm-hmm. So after asking yourself that question three times, are you sure you want to do this? And for some reason you say, yeah, okay. I mean, then what? Once you've established yourself, you've gone through some of these things, what does it really take to manage your career?
Well, it takes a lot. It's a really interesting thing. I find that by the time people find me, not only have they asked themselves that question three times, but they're not going to take no for an answer. So, and that's part of the reason I love my job so much is because we're working with really passionate people. And there is this sense of, this is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I want to do. So there's so much passion and connection once you make the choice, is what I see, you know, when I'm at conferences or, you know, just people who get in touch with me, they're not like, should I or shouldn't I? They're like, oh, dang it. You know, I'm screwed. I want to be a voiceover actor and that's the only thing I want to do. So I think it is really important to treat it like a business, like any other business. So that means setting it up right, you know, like mm-hmm. what you guys talk about all the time with, you know, getting your studio right, because otherwise you're just wasting your time, you know, becoming well-trained enough that you're putting your best foot forward with every audition. And then as far as the business plan, do a business plan. you know, what are your goals? What do you want to do? How much money do you want to make this year? You know, what's your floor, your very minimum that you absolutely have to make no matter what? You know, what's your shoot for the moon? Who do you want to work for? What genres do you want to work in? And then there's just a million things you can do to make those things happen. So that's really the management piece for me, is tearing apart everybody's business plan and then making it happen, because you're here and you don't want to go anywhere else. So you have to succeed at it, you know, so it's about figuring out your goals and your steps. So that's like a huge thing. And I love this time of year. You know, we're just coming off of our goal setting hangover of January, you know, so it's staying true to those. And what do you do every single day to get the bookings you want to get? And really going in and assessing what's going wrong, why is this not happening, and then fixing it. So being really intense about that.
All right. Celia Siegel is our guest here on VoiceOver Body Shop. We're going to take a break. Again, if you've got a question for her, throw it in the chat room, and it will get to us, and we'll get it to Celia, and then we'll get the answer back to you. So don't go away. We shall be right back.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
In a world of audio, two men knew what they were doing, or at least they have you convinced. They put the BS in VOBS.TV.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO.
And we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop, and you know, somebody who's been with us for a long, long time, since we started doing this kind of show, is Harlan Hogan. Almost 6 years, if you can believe that. 6 years we've been doing this show.
Mind-blowing.
It's my brain's dripping out of my ears most of the time anyway. But one of the things that Harlan has is his signature series of products. Mm-hmm. Last week we talked about the voiceover recording sign that you hang outside your studio to prevent any marital difficulties.
Let people know
that you're,
I'm recording.
I'm making money here. Get out of here.
Shut up recording instead of having to do that.
But some of his other stuff is really, really cool. Now, you are modeling for us tonight the official Harlan Hogan Signature Series headphones.
Yes, I am.
There, we get a shot from this camera over here, Andy. There, you can see them right here. They actually have his name on it, which is really cool. But the great thing about these headphones is that they're very flat in response. And they're really good for voiceover, whereas a lot of people are like listening on their computer speakers, or they're listening on
Beats headphones.
Yeah,
say
yeah. With
no
that with that accentuated
Beats.
Bass. Yeah,
say no to Beats.
It's not
going
to help.
Anything that
you.
Exaggerates bass or is super super sibilant and bright and edgy. Sony DR7506s. Not my favorites for voiceover. Right. These are very very honest and flat and. They have a single side cable, which is nice. It's nice, you know. It feels more pro.
Yeah.
Leather ear pads,
but it, you know, it stretches.
Yeah.
So you can like run away from your studio if you need to.
Yeah, it has a section of straight, so that it's not coil all the way up to the ear pad, and then it's coiled at the bottom. I mean, little details like that.
Yeah.
Harlan had to get them to make this cable this way. They don't really make cables this way.
Right.
I mean, that's a big
but they
deal.
Did for Harlan.
Yeah. And then it's leather.
He asked.
Leather ear pads, leather headband. And then inside the leather is memory foam.
Right.
So super, super comfortable.
Comfortable, good at isolation, really good for editing because they will allow you to hear all the little clicks and pops and things along those lines. But you hear yourself as you exist. And we all know how important that is because that's the idea of a home studio. It's not to make you sound great. It's to make you sound like you.
You.
And these particular headphones will do that. So go down their page if you're watching. Scroll down to the bottom of the VOBS.TV page, and you'll see a picture of Mr. Hogan talking into his legendary porta booth. And he will You click on that, take you right there, and buy those headphones because those are the headphones you need to be using. Thank you, Mr. Hogan. H2 for those of us who know him a little closer. Anyway, we're back with Celia Siegel, and we're talking about managing your career. Again, if you got a question, throw it in the chat room. Got one more thing I want to ask you about here, Celia, and then we'll get to some of our audience questions. Getting an agent. Now, when people start off, it's always like, I got to get an agent. You know, if you've never, you know, if you're just starting out in voiceover, you know, how's an agent even going to know you're there? I mean, is your priority getting an agent? Is it something you do in tandem? Is it something that, I mean, a lot of, I was always taught that you don't go looking for an agent. You should be good enough and you should be making enough money. They should come looking for you. It's certainly the easier route, I think, of actually finding one. But does it pay off to actually harass these people and say, represent me?
Well, that doesn't pay off.
You know, it works fine for me.
Hey, pay attention.
So, you know, this comes up with almost every client I work with, and it's a big part of it. So, and having been an agent for, you know, 13 or 14 years myself, I can tell you that agents want to have the next person who's going to earn a lot of money.
I would think that's why they're in business.
That's why they're in business. So they want your submissions. They want to hear your demo. You know, they want to, you know, check out your website, see what you're up to, you know, check out your Twitter followers, see if you're an influencer. They want to know if you're brandable. I mean, I had an agent say that at a conference I was just at. He said, you know, are you the flavor of the month and are you brandable? Like, can I make you special above my other five guys that are a lot like you tone-wise? So people would send in their demos and we listened to every single one because you don't want to miss somebody very awesome. And some people would send it in too early. They'd be like, you know, this guy's got potential, but not yet. Or the demo was bad. I mean, it's a very unforgiving process. So you want to send into an agent a package of your very best self that you can recreate in an audition. And when are they going to take you? When they need you. So, you know, back to, do you need an agent? I mean, the cool thing is, I mean, I'm going to kind of jump around here. If an agent thinks they can make money from you and they don't already have five of you, they will sign you. So it's your job to be that person that is already making the money. I mean, they want you to already be at a certain level, you know, depending on if it's a regional agent or somebody in Los Angeles. I mean, there are sort of benchmarks for where you need to be before you even bother sending your stuff in. So you first need to get to a certain level before they're going to look at you. Uh-huh. And I always tell people, be patient. Because when I was an agent, like I would listen to a demo and be like, oh, this person's really great. And they're like, I don't know, him? He sends his stuff in every 6 months and... You know, and I did a couple of times. I was like, yeah, but they're ready now. Like this demo is amazing. If they can reproduce this, we'll make money from them. But you get a bad rap because you only have one chance to make a good first impression. Mm-hmm. So it can be pretty complicated. And because they don't need you, you do have to bug the heck out of them to get a yes or a no. You know, you don't want to just assume it's a no. So it's complicated. You know, you've got to wait for the right timing. You've got to follow up in the right way. And there's a lot of agents out there. So it's a marriage. You've got to find somebody who it's a good fit for. So that's getting an agent.
Okay.
As I call it, your two voiceover careers. You do want a relationship with a really great agent if you can garner that for yourself based on where you are in your career and how you connect. You know, what kind of referrals you have. So that's great. That's your agent career. Uh-huh. But then so many of you guys have these amazing careers that are all about you and your home studio and the internet
mm-hmm.
and your brand,
right?
And your marketing. So that's where it gets so empowering, because you don't have to wait for the phone to ring. You don't have to wait for a yes. So they're both awesome pieces of your career, and it's not either or. So never wait for the agent to start educating the world about your voice and getting jobs. And that is what is the best thing about our business right now, is that you can make it happen for yourself by building a really great business for yourself.
Excellent advice. Our guest is Celia Siegel, expert on branding and managing your voiceover career. And we've got lots of questions from our amazing audience sitting there in the chat room talking about totally other things.
Yeah, talking about recording studios.
Yeah, well, or whatever. They're
the fun stuff.
Making fun of us most of the time. Anyway, our first question comes from Shelley Avellino. And she says, is there a perfect time to revisit your branding? When does it get old? Every couple of years, whatever.
So I say that we work in the trendiest business out there. We're working in advertising, which changes, you know, really every 6 months. You're seeing trends, you know, now with social media and influencers, there's these fast trends. So really every 3 years, I tell my clients, really take a hard look at your brand. And maybe animated characters aren't popular anymore and you want to morph into something else. So it's a brand refresh. It's what corporations do. They go from, you know, Target logo that says Target to just the bullseye, you know, just the red dot. So yeah, keep an eye on it. And you just want to know that it's reading fresh as far as trends go. And a really good, well-done brand. I mean, sometimes I have clients who are still using their same brand after like 10 years and it's still totally relevant. So just filter it for what's hip right now.
Well, that's this next question from Dave Smith dovetails nicely with that, I think, because he asks, if you like your present brand and logo, if you like it, should you still change that brand, and how long before you do from your present brand and logo? Like, if you've got something that you really dig, should you still refresh it every once in a while, no matter what?
So you really digging your own brand is part of the magic. So half of it is you feeling at home and being like, oh, that is so me. So it, you know, gets you out there selling your stuff and you feel confident. So we do want you to love it. However, 50%
of it is always a however.
Do the buyers love it? You know, so I would love to look at your brand. I could answer that a little bit better, but you can send me an email. But so you have to match it as to what's going on, you know, with trends. Websites look very different than they did 10 years ago. I still miss flash and complicated websites and moving pieces, you know, and now I want to see your brand on this, you know, this teeny little device. So it has to be cleaner and crisper. So if your brand is really busy, maybe it doesn't fit. I always say, does it say something about you and your voice? Like, a lot of people have brands that maybe don't say anything about them, you know? So it would need to be an assessment. And I do free 15-minute brand audit assessments if you want to email me. And I can like pop on and give my 2 cents. And I'm not the only opinion in the world.
And that email address is?
Celia@CeliaSiegel.com.
Thank you.
Make sure you spell it right. Apparently, I've been having issues with that all week.
There's so many ways to spell it. It happens.
Okay.
So, yeah, go to my website and shoot me an email, and I'll give you a form to get on my calendar.
Cool. All righty. Duncan White asks, question, which is why he asked it, is it a good idea to change your branding if someone else usurps, I guess he said, since it's kind of a dramatic word choice, if someone else has taken the top 5 or 6 spots on Google search? You know, trying to get a good Google search for voiceover is, I think that's kind of silly, but at least if someone has sort of taken your brand, how do you update it?
I mean, I kind of need a little bit more information than that. You know, so does somebody take your tagline, or are you just talking about somebody with a similar brand comes up higher in the search engines?
I think it's that's SEO is a whole different conversation, a whole different problem to sort out.
Yeah, it really is.
So, you know, because someone did that to me. You know, I remember I had Dan Leonard's Voice Emporia. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Somebody took it. Same logo, same everything. And it was somebody I knew. So.
Oh, that's even worse.
So.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. So I had to change because I wasn't going to, didn't want to fight with this person. But it was time to change it anyway. So maybe that's part of the answer.
So, yeah, I would need more information about that to really be able to say. I mean, but the thing is, you know, it's like you look at brands out there. And you look at sandwich shops around the country, you know, things get pretty close for comfort. So the more you are your self, the more your brand is protected, if that makes sense. So the more that you put out there and the more unique it is to you, the more you're going to be able to own it.
Gotcha. Here's one that's maybe a little bit too general. I don't know, but you tell me how this lands with you. This is from Martha Kahn, and she says, how do you help market your clients? In other words, how does she help market
her clients? How does Celia do that?
How does Celia help market her clients?
Okay, well, part of the way that I help is I have this really great team, including Martha Kahn.
I had a feeling there was a mole. No, that's great.
So I like to hit it up a lot of different ways. So there's, you know, e-blasts and e-cards and direct emails. It's all about targeted lists and knowing who you're marketing to. So we get really involved with how to hit people up many different ways. And then we call people when they click on your stuff. I'll sick Martha on them. You know, what are you working on? How did you like Dan's voice? And just really staying on people. So there's like a million different ways of doing it. Lately, I've been likening it to, you know, if you're marketing yourself, if you don't have a manager or management team marketing you or somebody else marketing you, like there's 100 ways you could get your name out there and educate people about you. And just pick the one you like. It doesn't even matter what you do. Just get a great list and educate them about your voice in, you know, one of, you know, social media, pick a platform. So yeah, millions of ways. So I like to hit them all.
Okay. I get to ask the Maxine Dunn question tonight.
Yes, you do.
All right. Maxine says, question for Celia. Thank you for all this fantastic info. When you work with clients, is it a one-time endeavor, done and done, or do you work with your clients on an ongoing basis? And do you outsource logo and image design, or do you do it yourself?
Ah, good ones. It depends. I mean, some people come to me. I mean, some people come and do a free 15-minute consultation, and they're like, oh, great idea, and they go and do it and go on their merry way. I mean, I love being part of this community. So sometimes I do bite-sized help for people. Sometimes I work hourly for people. Our thing that we're known for is you come with my team for 3 months and we do your business plan. We do your brand. We are the creative directors of your website and then we market the heck out of you. So we're just throwing a lot of sort of startup energy or restart energy in your business. And then from that point, some people just stay with us and we keep managing them. And some people go off and have this new tool set. I actually have one woman on my roster who I've worked with for 28 years straight. I was her agent for 14 years and I've been managing her for 14 years. So I have many clients who it works and we can, you know, we know if it works or not. And we're a great team and they just stick around. And then some people just keep in touch and say, you know, thanks for the kick in the butt. And here's what I'm up to.
One last question.
Yeah.
From Devox. And this is a great question because we want to talk about being honest with yourself. But he asks, what's a good way to get honest answers from people about what your brand is? So is it a good idea to go out there and ask, like you said, your clients or ask your friends or what?
Yes. You know, just say, I want an honest answer. This is a great tip. I'm really glad you asked this. Like some people are like, you know, I can't afford to do a brand and have a branding team right now. But what can I do on my own? One of the most powerful exercises that I know of is to send out 20, 30, 50 emails and just say, hey, I'm working on my brand. Be honest and I'll still be your friend. The more honest, the better. How do you see me? How do you see my personality? How would you position me type wise? How do you think I sound? What do you think my vocal quality sounds like? If you were a producer, why would you hire me for your Super Bowl commercial? Where would you cast me? So you can just ask your friends and just say, be real, you know? And if it's, you know, your reads are not current, tell me, you know? So that's a really great way, is just poll people. And then also if you ask a professional, you know, say to them, I want your most critical feedback. That is what I'm paying you for. And go to people who will be real with you because yeah, you don't need, you know, yeah, you're awesome. You know, you go to your friends, your family for that.
Yeah. My mom always says I'm awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. Hey. We have time for a couple more questions. And there was a follow-up that Devox had. He said, is there anything you want to avoid in your branding?
You know, I think that the more authentic you are, the better off you're going to be. So, you know, we were joking today. I was talking to a client about, you know, your brand helps you come in first position. You know, we were talking about being really authentic. And I do have people who come to me and they're like, I don't want to be that. I want to be this. And then we need to drill down, but are you that? Or is that what you want to be or your perfect self? So I'm a big proponent of getting really real with your brand, even if it scares people. And sometimes the more people you scare away, the bigger your tribe gets. Now, I don't want to cross any like cultural norms or, you know, I mean, yeah. You know, when you really can't go there. But I say be authentic, authentic, authentic. And if your quirk or your thing or what you get hired to do is weird, or sometimes it's your shadow side or the thing you're not that proud of, sometimes you need to just work it through with somebody and be like, wow, but there's all this work out there of this thing I don't like about myself. Does that answer your question?
Well, he's saying what to avoid. So I guess don't avoid being inauthentic, I guess is like, the...
Be yourself.
Be yourself, even if you want to be more perfect, because nobody wants super perfect because it's beige. So it is about being real, light and dark. Be authentic.
Yeah, you can't be everything to everyone. A quickie last one from Maxine asking about your opinion on parallax websites. Do you like them or is this just another web design passing trend? And you know what we're talking about, where the background moves slower than the foreground as you're scrolling up the page.
It depends. Like I, when I see something, I'm a very visual person. So I know, like I can tell what doesn't work or kind of what makes people uncomfortable. Sometimes I think it works really well. It depends on the design.
Yeah. The context.
It just depends. And if there's not too much going on, you want to keep it pretty clean and simple. But I have seen it where I really like it and it really helps with the branding and it helps with the design.
Yeah. Case by case basis, I guess. Just has to fit with the overall design.
Yeah. Yeah. So Celia, now you have management services and your big thing is with branding. How do people get in touch with you?
You know, you can email me, go to my website. And a great way to keep in touch is, just email me. And if you haven't met me yet, you know, just set up a quick consultation and we could look at your stuff. Shoot me an email. And then I do a monthly newsletter tips that you can sign up for my website. If you just want little branding tips, marketing tips, mindset tips, is a good way to stay in touch and keep branding.
Now, are you going to VO Atlanta?
I wouldn't miss it. Yes. And I know you guys are going. And yeah, it's going to be a really great time. There's so many great speakers and great talent. And it's a really great event. So, and I didn't get paid to say that. I really get so much out of it. And yeah, I was super excited to see you guys were on the roster.
Yes. We're going to have a great time. Because, I mean, not only is it great for all the people who are attending, mm-hmm. but those of us who are going, who are presenting, all our best friends are going to be there. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be like two conventions going on.
It's going to be really fun.
Can't wait. Well, Celia, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I know it gets late there and farther east than we are here, and we appreciate you coming on and giving us all the information you have tonight. And it's always a pleasure to see you and hang out in the airport with you.
Yeah, we'll have to maybe do that again.
Intentionally or unintentionally?
No, it was very early in the morning, that's what we had to do. Anyway,
kind of late at night for us.
Yes, it was. I don't think there was any morning. I think it just sort of stretched on. Anyway, well, all right, see you. Take care. It's great to see you.
All right, thanks, you guys. Take care.
All right, we'll be back to wrap things up right after this on VoiceOver Body Shop.
Learning never ends.
You continue to grow.
Edge Studio has grown. Pursue multiple disciplines in tandem and grow your career. We've added new courses in a new curriculum.
We picked the best coaches from the community of working voice actors.
A new technology division, engineering and consulting, led by George Whittam.
Follow your dream.
Sign up for advanced learning or register for an introduction to voice acting or foundation studies program.
See it all now
at thenewedgestudio.com.
Every Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific.
VoiceOver Body Shop. I love when they talk BS about VO. Learn the latest in voiceover technology.
Business.
And good old-fashioned acting.
Hey, Paul, I really like your suit. Where did you get it? It looks good on you.
This is VOBS.
All right, we're back here on VoiceOver Body Shop. Always fun to hang out with Celia.
Indeed.
You know, great talking to her. She's a wellspring of information and stuff, so it was great to have her on the show. Mm-hmm. Now, next week on our show,
yes,
we've got a couple of great shows coming up. You know, aside from a couple of new sponsors, you know, just to, you know, the same people are on all the time, and it's great, and we want you to patronize. We got new people coming on, too.
Yay!
So, you know, and if you'd like to advertise with us, email me. The guys at VOBS.TV, and we'll tell you all about it, because you're gonna hit your market right between the eyes here.
I hope so.
But next week, we've got Chris Borders is coming from Tiki Man Productions, and he will be here in our nicely green screens studio.
Yay. I love that when people come in. It's great.
Yeah. And that'll be fun, and we'll learn about, you know, the production work that he does and what Tiki Man Productions does. And important information to know if you're in the voice business. You've got to see what types of operations are out there that you could say, hey, you got to hire me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. February 20th, Dave Walsh. This guy is a great, great coach.
Awesome.
He is fabulous. I worked with him one night, and he knows how to get out of you what you need.
Uh-huh.
So, good. Great coach. We're going to have a good time with him.
Awesome.
And then February 27th, our friends at Source Connect are going to be here about Source Connect. Source Connect Pro and Source Connect Now. And what's the other Source Connect?
Live.
Source Connect Live. They'll be live here on our show.
That's right. Probably using Source Connect Live, actually.
That
we've
I would hope so.
Talked about different ways to bring them on the show, and it should be interesting to try this out.
Who are our donors this week? And we appreciate them.
Donors. Actually, my donor list has gotten obscured. Where did it go on me? While I'm answering that, or looking at there it is. Hello, donors. There we go. Maria Macus. Thank you, Maria. Eric Aragoni. Patrick Sweeney.
Pat Sweeney, we love you, man.
Dude, you're fantastic. Thank you. Did this screen refresh? I think I've got all my donors on this screen. Sometimes it collapses a bunch into one pile.
Gmail.
Gmail inbox. Not the greatest tool for this. Don Griffith. Thank you.
Thanks, Don.
And Martha Kahn.
Marathon, you rock, Martha.
Thank you very much, everybody who's donated in the last few days. We get them in batches sometimes. We didn't get a lot in the last week because a lot of folks, they subscribe.
Right.
And sometimes they all come around the same time. So then we'll see a huge clump of them come in. It's probably when we remind people that they can donate and remind people that they can subscribe. And all of a sudden we get a big wave. So if you do want to donate as little as a buck a month just to help support the show, you can click that button right up top. I think it's above us nowadays. Maybe it's below.
It's right up here somewhere.
It moves around. There's a subscribe button on VOBS.TV. You can click it and subscribe and just help give us that little bit of boost as we go along.
Yeah.
This actually was a question that was stuck from, I don't know if this was from last week and it hung around or if it was just injected this week, from Maxine about, if you move the show to Facebook, where would the chat room be and could we all still converse in the same way on that venue? Did that come up last week?
I think we ran out of time last week. What's the answer to that?
So here's the deal. We are kicking the idea around of relocating the actual live cast of the show to Facebook. What does that mean to you? If you watch the show live right now, live in person on VOBS.TV, that doesn't have to change. You can still watch the show. The show will be still embedded on VOBS.TV. The thing that we're thinking about changing more dramatically is the chat part. So what that means is the chat activity would actually be the comments that you see at the bottom of the video.
That
would be the comments where you can reply to someone's content, you know, like people's comments, things like that.
Throw emojis in there.
Throw emojis. So it would be theoretically a better chat experience. I think it could be a better chat experience, but more importantly to us, it brings a lot more energy and eyeballs to the show because that activity is on Facebook.
Right.
So when we go live on Facebook, more viewers are going to get their attention is going to be brought to the show. And the chat activity will be more easily seen by more people.
Absolutely.
It really is about getting this out into more viewers. And, you know, the way we do it now, it's working.
Right.
It's working, but it's not helping us grow the audience so much. So we're looking at doing that. We haven't made the leap yet. You'll know when it happens. But we don't want to break what already works. We love having a live chat. That's very important to us. That's going to keep going. And the show is still going to be visible on VOBS.TV.
All right. Well, that'll be fun if we can pull that one off. I mean, 317 people watching us dance in my living room yesterday.
That tells you Facebook Live is a tool that works. It brings a lot of eyeballs. Isn't it 1.2 billion active users per day? I think it's the last stat I heard about Facebook. Yeah.
My, how our world has changed.
Yeah.
Thanks to Jody Krangle tonight. Mm-hmm. She did the voiceover for our intro tonight. You can do it too, but it's got to be timed perfectly because I had to take the time and edit it just so slightly so it fit with the video in there.
Yeah, you need to put down your coffee.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Okay, what's going on at Edge?
What's going on at Edge? Actually, the latest thing that they are telling us about is actually, and I had it open here and I closed that tab in my browser. If you look at the V opportunities newsletter that we're sending out nowadays, you can sign up for that over at edgestudio.com. What's going on this week? Well, we just wrapped up the Fresh Sound promotion that ended at the end of June. I'm doing a thing called Ask a Question, Get an Answer. If you just want to ask one quickie question, you really don't want to hire me or you don't have the money or the budget to book me for time, for $19, you send me a question, I send you an answer. Simple. Online Casting 101, The Essentials with Rachel Fulginitti and Jay Preston.
Jay.
Two friends of ours are now coaching for Edge Studio. So that's happening. That's on January 23rd and 24th. You can register online. And Online Casting 201, also with Rachel Fulginitti, but this time with Danny States. And then we also have another new coach on the roster, Jeffrey Kafer.
The Kafe.
Yes. He is teaching audiobook business, and he's helping with people's consult. He's consulting on audio business.
Yeah.
Audiobook business.
And so, you will listen to him.
Yeah. He's the real deal. So anyway, that's what's going on. Lastly, VO Booth Camp. We are still booking VO Booth Camps with our buddy Joe Lesh.
Cool. All righty.
That's what's happening at Edge.
All right. Show logs. where they always are, right up there. Jack DeGoli is still writing every word we say, and it will accompany the YouTube video when it's there, so it helps you find the information you're looking for. Let's see. Podcast, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, ewabs.podbean.com. A lot of people listen to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tonight will be a good podcast, good conversation tonight. There's the survey. Take the survey. Click on it and answer the questions. Tell us what you want to hear, what you want to see on our show. Even if it's just a different background. let's see what else. Oh, you want to be in the studio? We do have an audience tonight. If you want to get the audience cam there for a second. Yeah, there's Ari.
Oh, hi, Ari.
Ari. There you go. There he
good
is.
Dog.
Good boy.
Good boy.
He's our audience tonight. But if you want to be an actual human in our audience, write to us at theguys@vobs.tv. And
we have snacks.
We have snacks. He got into the carrots, though.
Yes, he did.
So the snack tray has been moved, actually, to our position tonight.
Hummus. So,
carrots.
My favorite.
Oh, see, woke him up. Okay. let's see what else we got here. That's about it. Oh, we got to thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan.
Voiceover Essentials. That's our Harlan Hogan. Yes. Sorry.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Voiceover Extra.
You voice take over that extra. Extra. That's what I meant.
Right.
Edge Studio.
Your employers. Okay. Source Elements.
Viotagogo and the rehearsal app.
And finally, Antland Productions for killer demos and help thanking and thank you all for helping us bring you uninterrupted live streaming of this show.
Tonight was pretty uninterrupted.
It was.
It was a pretty darn uninterrupted show, I have to say.
Andy's getting really tight with those
he
shots.
Is, man.
See, this camera, Andy?
Wait, hold on.
What are you doing over there? That camera? This camera? It's there. It's there. There it is. Okay. And then the forward camera, which is right there. Okay. See, this is what your donations help with, all this technology. Make it happening.
I couldn't have done it that fast. Trust
all right. me. Thanks to Marcy for letting us be out here in the garage.
In the garage.
Yeah.
It's a little bit nicer than a garage.
Yeah, it's much nicer. You have to check it out. Our producer, Catherine Curtin, for getting us great guests. Anthony Gettig and Jack Daniel tonight for helping us out in the chat room.
Yes, they were.
Let's see here.
Andrew
Bushwitz, our crack floor director and there's his hand.
Jack DeGoli's show notes.
And Lee Pinney for being Lee Pinney. All righty. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. We'll be back next Monday night, and we're going to have a great time. We appreciate you being here. Work hard out there, guys. Practice. Do your improv. And if you have a problem with your studio, you know who to call.
Keep at it.
All right.
Don't give up.
Have a great week. I'm Dan Leonard.
I'm George Whittam.
And this is VoiceOver.
Body Shop.
Or VO. BS.
Having dinner tonight? How about having some VO?